You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike, and especially good news today on the 5th of December, because I'm with Bridget.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Bridget's back. I hope she's back for more than a one-time visit. But in any case, we've got her for this time. And I'm going to talk about who my health care team members are. Number one is you. Number two, your primary care doc. Why? Well, they're the two primary members. The doctor comes from the Latin word meaning teacher. And that's one of the two roles that your primary care doc, to teach you how to stay well. The second role, I believe, and this is why you really want a doc with a great Rolodex, is to assemble a team to search out and then plan and execute a treatment plan for you if you develop an illness. The primary care doc's your confidant, your coach, and your selection agent. But let's start with role number one, you. You're the most important member of the team. Yeah, and I don't believe you should use a doc in the box or a Walmart or Walgreens or CVS or your smartphone connection doc as your primary doc or nurse or primary caregiver. They're very useful if you need a ear infection or a shingle shot or something like that. But you need a primary care doc who's going to spend enough time and be there consistently to teach you and to get to know you about what you do for stress management, what's causing your stress, what you do for food and how to cook, and to teach you what you like and maybe teach you about different restaurants in the area that serve it. And then, of course, you want someone who will talk to you about physical activity, but especially the thing that the Walmart or the Walgreens doc won't get is to assemble a great team if you do get an illness for that care path. So those are the things we want you to get on, stay healthy and, of course, wealthy. But you also need the other things. Who else should be on the team? Team member three, a buddy. That's right, a spouse or someone else who can help you stay well. Why are you number one? Because it's you who has to do the physical activity. You has to stay on the meal plan or make the foods or cook the foods. You has to meditate and manage your stress. You who knows how your body's feeling, so you get to the primary care doc if you need that help. Now, Bridget, who's the next most important person on your team?
I'll give you a hint.
You're part of that person.
Your dietitian.
Right, your dietitian or nutritionist or cook, because food is medicine and it's really that important. Next, number five on the team, or number six, depending on whether the nutritionist and cook are four and five, is a stress management teacher, social worker, psychologist, psychiatrist, marriage and family therapist. That's right, key to staying healthy is managing stress, and a stress manager educator can teach you basic stress management processes, but the person is often a mental health professional who can do this best, can help with personal and emotional side of living. Social worker has a licensed degree, master's degree in social work, or is a licensed LCSW, stands for licensed clinical social worker, and passed the state exam to be able to do it. But it is someone like that who can help you. And that's number four, five, or six, with the cook and the nutritionist as the other two of that. Physical education teacher, exercise physiologist, or advanced trainer who can teach you what exercises to do in proper form. That's number seven. Big team, right? We already went through education buddy or nurse educator as number three. Pharmacist is because whether you take supplements or vitamins or drugs, you want someone to review those with you and to know about the interactions and know the interactions with you and eventually with your genome. That's number eight, is the pharmacist. Boy, it's a big team. Do you think it would be eight people, Bridge?
Did I think that it would be eight people?
Yeah. We're not even done yet. We need a dentist, that's nine, an eye doctor, 10, a podiatrist, 11, and a dermatologist, 12. Those are on my team. That's 12 people on your team if you don't get sick.
Wow.
Pretty big team.
It's a very
that's
big team.
That's what I would like. You're welcome to ask me questions about that. Send us emails at udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com. Why a dentist? Because they're really important at keeping you well, because your teeth are really important. Why a dermatologist? You want to see one every year to talk to you and lecture you about not staying out in the sun too much, but also to look over your body, head to foot, not as a voyeur, but as someone looking at your skin and looking to make sure you don't have lesions that will turn into problems. So that's my team. Podiatrist, because they can tell you whether you're walking the correct way, whether the problem is in your hips, your knees, or your feet, and help. And feet are really important, I believe, in staying well. So that's the team I would assemble as my healthcare team and have assembled for myself. I hope you've done it for yourself. Bridge, what do you think about that? You think that's too many people?
No, I don't think that's too many people. I don't have some of those on my team. I don't have a podiatrist. I also don't have a dermatologist. But I would add a massage therapist or, you know, someone that's able to do more relaxation in addition to someone that can talk to you about stress management.
Did I hear you say massage therapist?
Yeah.
That's pretty darn indulgent. That's what Jeremy's supposed to do.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I guess so. He's not trained to be one very well. He hasn't gotten good training.
Anyway, I'm kidding Bridget because she's got a new boyfriend or a boyfriend or a more than a boyfriend named Jeremy, and we've got to train him so that he does what she needs being done in massage and other things.
Oh
so
my
that,
goodness.
She feels better all the time. So we won't invite him to watch this, listen to this show, right?
Right. The level of embarrassment that I'm at right now is similar to when you tried to lecture me about taking a prenatal vitamin and not getting into my sexual activity on the radio a few years ago.
Okay. What's your favorite story?
Okay. Let me just freeze for a second. Okay, so my next favorite story was about Maine, the state of Maine, proposing to ban the purchase of junk foods for individuals who are using the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is a SNAP program commonly known as food stamps. So right now, currently, individuals can't use their federal food stamps to buy alcohol or tobacco, but they can use them for the purchase of any kind of soft drinks, cookies, candy, any kind of junk food that they desire. So the proposal from Maine was from Monday, and they were thinking that it would help to decrease the annual cost of obesity and treatments related to obesity. They a 2012 study found that.
When we come back from the break, Bridget, let's go over specifically what we mean by junk food, because that's really important. In other words, some people would say a cracker isn't junk food, it's healthy. Other people would say it's junk food. What about Gatorade or protein drinks or even, if you will, caffeinated water? What about coffee? Is that junk? Not to me. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We want you to live at the top of your curve, to take control of your genes so you can live healthy and younger.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering 4 free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
Radio with Dr. Pamela Peek, MD.
What we have to do now is we have to demand at the highest levels, National Institutes of Health and big funders, that before any study is done, that male and females are both included and that the sex differences are teased out.
And Michelle King Robson.
Only 37% of clinical trials today are done on women, and that had to be passed by Congress to even get that done.
The Naked Truth about women.
We as physicians are now being asked to look at many of these medications, start at the lowest dose possible in women.
And the FDA said that too, that, you know, just prescribe the lowest dose. But we need to review all drugs for women.
Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern and always on demand at RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and the free TuneIn Radio app. Stay well.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And I'm really happy today because we got Bridget back at least for a day. So, Bridget, thanks for coming back. Tell me, what is junk food in the main definition of it?
That's a really good question. So, like you said before the break, the definition of junk food is going to vary from individual to individual, and that's why it gets tricky when you're trying to make some kind of proposal like Maine did, recommending that junk food not be included in food stamps, because then that opens up the question of what is junk food. So in my definition of junk food, I would say that it's anything that that is shelf-stable for an extended period of time and doesn't, and the risks outweigh the benefits in terms of the nutrients, the nutrient benefits compared to the excessive calories and excessive sodium and fat and saturated fat and all those components. And then sugar, of course. So the soda would be...
Geez, that's a really good definition, but it's hard to do it, right? So in other words, what you're saying is we've got to make a judgment call on risk versus benefit for health on each aged food. But one thing you said is that if it's got a long shelf life, it's almost certainly junk food.
Right. So what they had said in the proposal was specifically to soda, cookies, and candy in terms of trying to ban the purchase of those. So I personally think that it would be easiest for them to start with soda and then move towards junk food, because soda is, you know, there's no negotiation that there's many more risks associated with drinking soda than there are benefits. Would you agree?
Now, the Maine is small enough and tough enough to maybe get this through. Do you think it, how, what's the, did you read, what's the proposal? Where is it in the political process? Does it have a chance of getting through?
So I just know it's in a very preliminary process, or it's very preliminary right now. So I know that one of their health officials had proposed to ban on Monday and had written a formal request to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. But it doesn't sound like it's gotten very far yet.
So I take it from Maine, it's got to go through the Department of Agriculture in the state of Maine to be able to be done in Maine.
Right. So, and then it would be interesting
and
to see...
Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say that it would be interesting to see the effect that it would have on other states. If Maine were able to pass that, obviously other states would probably try to propose a similar thing. And it makes sense, because in the article, they look at how much Maine spends on the medical cost of obesity, which is roughly $452.7 million per year. And especially when you look at the fact that...
For just Maine?
Mm-hmm.
Maine doesn't have many people. It's spending $500 million and it doesn't have many people.
Million, not billion.
No, 400. He said it's spending $452 million, which is $500 million.
Oh, yes, $500 million. That's what the University of Maine came out with a report in 2012 saying that the annual medical costs associated with obesity were $452.7 million. And when they wrote up the report, they were saying how people that are that have the food stamp benefits are going to be similar to people that are also receiving federal assistance from for their health care, so that it might help to decrease the health care costs.
Wow, that's a big, Maine's a small state, right? I don't know how many people are in Maine from a population standpoint, but one thinks of it as not a very populous state, and for it to have this much, I suppose, in obesity costs, I guess that's why we're spending $200 billion across the United States last year in obesity.
Yeah, that adds up.
It does add up. A billion here, a billion there, as Senator Dirksen said, and pretty soon you're talking about some real money. The contrary to that is there's a House bill, that is, the House of Representatives has a bill that would limit some calorie labels, which seems ridiculous to me. It's going the other way. It's like saying, well, we don't want you to know, so we're not going to allow you to hear. It's like GMO food. I really believe that we should be able to label things and be able to read the labels and have them be accurate and then make our own choices up. Bridge, I haven't talked to you in a while. What's the status of your thoughts on labeling of GMO or genetically modified food? Should we force that or should we allow it to not occur?
No, I agree. I think that the GMOs and calories should all be labeled because it's of interest to many people, and I think that everyone should be able to make an informed decision when it comes to their eating. And when I interned for the Center for Science in the Public Interest a few years ago, it was really interesting to me, not specific to GMOs, but more so for the calorie labeling and the disclosure of the nutrition facts. It's so difficult to get companies to release that information when they're not required to do so. And so I would be calling companies all day long trying to get their nutrition facts information or asking if, you know, their chickens were free range and different questions like that. And they will not release information to you. It's like proprietary information that a lot of times they either don't call you back or you have to fill out this whole form that takes days, and then they'll release the information to you. So it's really difficult as a consumer to make an informed decision without having these regulations set up for calorie counting and for GMOs to just allow that to be a normal process.
And if you were going to guess, do you think this is going to get easier or tougher? Do you think, in other words, we're so dependent on what I would call great agencies like a great non-government agencies, volunteer agencies like Consumer Science and the Public Interest. If you want to support one thing, by the way, I really do believe everyone should donate to this because they do so much good for us in society. But what's your thoughts on should we where are you on do you think we will go positive or negative on this in the long term? Bridge, you get to see this. Is there enough interest for us to drive it to normal?
Oh, I think that it will become more common for the nutrition labeling and all of the information to be in the favor of the consumer, because it's gotten to the point that it's so out of control and people are so fed up with it that I think that companies are going to be forced to change. Especially because if you're not going to do what the consumer wants, and there's more and more people that are more health conscious, if you're not able to provide the information or the products, then there's going to be up-and-coming companies that are able to. They're able to think out of the box and create foods that aren't necessarily going to have excess amounts of sugar and saturated fat, but still taste good. So I really believe that it will swing. It's just a matter of how long it will take. The politics around it is huge, and that's what is as that's the most time-consuming part of it, is all of the lobbying that from each of these companies.
From your lips to God's ears, I hope. In any case, we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We've got a bunch more of these top medical stories of the week for you to enjoy and to learn from. And talk about a flu report. We'll be right back.
Who says you have to be young to feel young? You can experience that exuberant energy in many stages of your life, but sometimes you may need a little help. If you're not feeling that kind of energy, it may not have anything to do with your age, but instead the production of testosterone in your body. Michael's Naturopathic Programs has a formula for that. Michael's Testosterone Factors contains the essential nutrients that support the production of testosterone naturally. This comprehensive formula is a combination of vitamins, amino acids, and select herbs that are ideal for proper male hormone production. Feel young again by getting the support you need with Testosterone Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find it at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or go to michaelshealth.com and check out our full line of naturopathic formulations for all your health needs. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S health.com. Michael's Naturopathic Programs. Tried and truthful.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
For more than 45 years, Barbara's has created delicious cereals and snacks made with simple, wholesome ingredients you and your family can trust. Barbara's breakfast and snack items are lower sugar, higher protein options, free of artificial ingredients and colors, with the majority of its product profile non-GMO Project Verified, committed to better health and better taste. Barbara's gives families real, wholesome food that's tasty too. Check out all of the products at Barbara's.com.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is. This is so great.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? First, I had to decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more, so I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is really interesting this week. New article out in the journal, the American Medical Association, and this is a really big journal, if you will, but it says, "The Brain Fights Back, New Approaches to Mitigating Cognitive Decline." We've all heard that genes are not our destiny, that you get to turn on or off your genes, and that's the way you control your genes so that you live at the top of your curve. Well, this article starts, "Pathology is not destiny." What do they mean by that? Well, they autopsied more than 1,200 brains as part of the Rush Memory and Aging Project and the Religious Orders Study. It's a pair of massive prospective studies that have tracked the cognitive status of nearly 3,000 elders for about 2 decades, 20 years. And what did they find? Well, the key finding they had is that people with brain dysfunction on pathology, that is when you look at the brain, those people with that didn't necessarily develop brain dysfunction clinically. Conversely, those with brain dysfunction clinically could have had a normal brain pathologically. And what they say is, the data suggests we need to think, and I'll quote here, the data suggests we need to think more broadly about potential therapeutic targets. That's targets to be able to keep your brain normal. That is, it may be more about preventing vascular disease and doing things such as exercise and getting the right foods that are more important than just the pathology or your genetics towards your brain function. So that argues more for what Bridget does, which is help people choose the right foods and exercise a little more and have social connections. Bridge, what do you think?
I love it. I obviously totally believe in it. And it's so amazing to see people actually get so much better by just changing the foods that they're consuming. Like in the Center for Functional Medicine, our patients see the doctor, every patient has to see the doctor and then the dietitian and then a health coach. And then the doctors usually follow up with the patients every 2 months, 3 months, whereas a lot of the people are coming in to see me every month. And it's amazing the transformation that they have with just altering the foods that they're eating and cutting out the junk food and eating whole foods and not eating out at restaurants and including their family in the whole process. So that, you know, it goes back to what Dr. Roizen always says, that you need a buddy. And having that support system is key for long-term success.
I want to bring up, change the subject totally now, and I'm going to say flu. If you look at the flu season of 2012 to 13, 13 to 14, 14 to 15, they follow the exenical curves. What differentiates them? Well, 11 to 12 was at a very low flu level, and 9 to 10, the flu occurred early. And the most massive one we had is 14-15. Well, we're on the exact same path of all of those, and you really can't tell till about the first of the year, that is week one in January, whether you're going to have an increased flu season or a decreased or just an average flu season. So we're on the same pathway, but I thought we'd be able to tell by this week 45 in the year. You got to wait till week one, which is in January, and be able to tell that. The next topic I want to talk about is a funny one. This is a color-changing dressing fights antibiotic resistance. Bridget, do you know anything about this?
No, I know nothing about it.
Well, that's why I asked you if you did, because I was going to say if you did, you'd be really good. Because this is a totally different subject than you have to deal with ever. And that is, when you have a wound, when you have a surgical procedure, or you have a wound someplace from you were hit, or you've got a scar someplace, you scratched too hard, you got sunburn. Well, one of the dressings that they put on now is a dressing, and it's a new device that changes color based on the bacteria that have invaded that area. And it has little capsules, fluorescent dyes from tiny capsules, when toxins specific to the bacteria are directly. So rather than having to culture and wait 3 days to find the results of the culture, if you're a physician, if you think you've got an infection, you're running a fever, or this looks red or something, you put one of these dressings on, within a few hours it changes color to tell the bacteria and the reaction to the different antibiotics, and you actually can get a idea of what treatment works best for that infection by just what change in color occurs. Pretty remarkable, eh?
That is.
Do you know how to tell if you're too fat with just a piece of string, Bridget?
Wrap it around your waist.
You put it around your waist and your hips. When you put the one around your hips first, biggest place in your hips, if you then put it around your waist at the belly button with you sucking in, if it doesn't go all the way around, you've got too much belly fat. Belly fat's the key. It's not overall fat. It really is belly fat that's the key to your health. So if someone comes in and gives you a fat, wants to do a total body fat, don't bother. You can do it cheaper, better, and more importantly for yourself by just putting a string around your belly button, suck in. That should be, when you measure it, less than half your height. Or another way is it should be less than the distance around your waist, at your hips, I'm sorry, at the biggest level of your hips. What do you think about that?
I love it. I love it. That's a really good tip. Well, and if you have too much belly fat, then obviously that's a sign that you need to get moving, you need to change your diet, or you could do what I've been doing this week is the fire breathing to try to strengthen my core. It's so easy because you could do it from anywhere. And you breathe through strong inhales and exhales through your nose and pulse your stomach as you're exhaling, and it helps to really tighten up your core. I'll let you know if I get any results.
Oh, gosh. What do you know about diet and ovarian cancer?
Diet and ovarian cancer, I know, is associated with consumption of processed meat, especially thinking about the study that came out a few weeks ago, looking at the association with processed meat and excess amounts of beef that's not grass-fed. That's the top one that's coming to mind right now.
Yeah, well, any kind of meat. So this is ovarian cancer. By designing a healthy diet, black women can reduce their risk of ovarian cancer. This was looking at 145 women. This is a retrospective study, and comparing them with 625 women without the disease. Those who ate a healthy diet had a 50% reduced incidence, reduced risk of getting ovarian cancer. So just by switching out and avoiding red meat, you get much healthier that way. When we come back, we're going to talk about one other subject that is really interesting to me, as well as the, well, we've got several others that are really interesting, but one of which is toast, acrylamide, and cancer. What do they have to do with each other? What causes acrylamide? We'll also do, in case you missed it, I'm going to review everything we've gone over last week and this week in a quick, rapid-fire fashion, just like Dr. Oz does on the Dr. Oz Show, in case you missed it. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well and take control of your genes.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength, from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, There's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the top of your curve. I'm going to review one interesting study. This is a survey of U.S. drinking habits in college students and young men and women, and they found that males consume more alcohol than women. Big, you know, it's a KGO, a keen grasp of the obvious. But, in fact, women are catching up to men, and men are drinking a little less than they used to. That's right. The differences from men and women are diminishing. Over time, the percentage of women who had an alcoholic drink in the past 30 days went from 45 to 48%, while the percentage of men went from 57.4% to 56%. Heavy drinking also decreased to lower in men and higher in women. It the women didn't overtake the men, but they're getting closer to one another. So their habits are getting closer to one another. I'm going to do a quick review in case you missed it. We've got about and you correct me on this, we got about 6 minutes left. So, Ben, is that right? I think I got rid of Ben. I must have antagonized him. Anyway, we've got about...
Poor Ben.
We got about 6 minutes left, so I'm going to review. Where we were in the last 2 weeks, I told you for Thanksgiving, get rid of your leftovers. There's a 2-2-3 rule. What is that? 2 inches thick on the in the storage plate, because that's how fast it'll cool. 2 hours, that's the most you should have your leftovers out after you've taken them out of the oven, before you put them in the refrigerator. And 3, throw them out after 3 days. 2-2-3. What kind of doctors do you want on your health team? We went over this. You've got to get that from for yourself, because it's 11 people on your team. Yeah, not only your primary care doctor and you, but also someone to teach you about stress management, someone to teach you about nutrition and cooking, someone to teach you about physical activity, a podiatrist, a pharmacist, a dermatologist, a dentist. I think I got them all. But in any case, that's the number. Social jet lag causes obesity. What do we mean by that? If you don't go to bed at the same time every night, you will get fatter because the social jet lag, the change in time, you will be tired, and that tiredness will translate to you'll eat more or drink more. Coffee drinkers live longer, that's right, about 2.5 years longer and about 2.5 years less disability, or about a 4.5 year effect in real age. That really translates to you'll live about 2.25 years longer and you'll have about an additional 2.25 years less disability in addition to that other 2.5 years. Toast and cancer. Toast, if you burn something and it's a starch, it'll cause acrylamide. So the key point in this is with starches, don't overcook them. You can cook them in the microwave and they never get to a temperature that causes acrylamide. Obviously, you don't want to put your toast in the toaster oven and let it burn. If it does burn, don't scrape it off. Throw that away before you get sick from it. Color-changing dressings, we talked about this causing or being able to make a diagnosis of what bacteria. This is coming soon. We did talk to Nicholas Webb in the first hour about all the changes coming. He expected healthcare to get more both incentives and disincentives. If you don't get to the right weight, you won't get a hip replacement. Maybe not get the right drugs either. So there's going to be some stiff things he thinks coming, and you'll have to monitor yourself in a good way with the devices for monitoring your health, that is the trackers. Wellness foreplay, does inflammation cause your gut depression? Yep, inflammation in your gut, changing the bacteria in your gut, for example, by eating red meat or egg yolks, that changes the gut, and that gut bacteria that becomes inflammatory can cause you to have depression. That's one of the great stories we'll cover next week, because I didn't get to it this week. We also talked about, and Bridget, you talked about your favorite stories. Go through them.
Okay, so my top favorite stories were that only 4% of American adults are eating enough vegetables per day. The next story that we talked about was the lycopene content in a study in rats, that it may be associated with increased bone density and increased glutathione peroxidase levels, which are associated with less oxidative stress. It works as an amazing antioxidant. And
we should say that lycopene comes from cooked tomato products. Watermelon, guava are the main sources, but cooked tomato products, and it's much better than raw tomatoes. We don't know why, but it is much more bioavailable, which means you get more if you get cooked.
Exactly. And then we also talked about the fact that Maine proposed to ban junk food purchases for people that are enrolled in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program or the National Food Stamps Program. And then we also talked about, going off of that, we talked about how a House bill is proposing to not implement all of the calorie counting for supermarkets and specific restaurant chains. So those are the top stories of the week from me.
And, of course, we did talk about flu. And the fact that the flu rate, you can't tell whether we're going to have a bad or good season until the first week of January. That's when it all separates out. But until then, make sure you get a flu shot that's appropriate for you. And the people under age 65, it looks like a higher dose one is much better, because if you're under age 65, you don't get the same effects as those over age 65. Ben, how much time do we have left?
We have just a minute left, just about.
We have a minute to tell you that the most important things we think you can do for preventing the flu and for preventing colds while you travel and during the season are: one, wash, 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 wash. Every time you see a sink, wash your hands. And if you go to a place like on a plane, carry some of this hand sanitizer, or the foil-packed little wipes. First thing you do after you've gotten on the plane, wipe your table, that little table that falls out on the plane. That's got 8 times as many bacteria as the thrown, if you will, flush lever. So most important thing, and then wash your hands after touching people. If someone's sneezing around you, try and avoid them. Turn on that air blower so it doesn't get you their air. Thanks for listening, and thank you for Ben for great engineering. We'll be right back next week with a brand new show.